Dynasty Radio 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, no mistake or say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Family, this is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. Thank you for listening today. Today is April 14th. It's a Tuesday, and I'm here live on Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to talk to me, I'll leave a message or either have a comment or just want to say hi, just call in. Dial 646-716-7572, and we'll press number one, and we'll put you in queue. We'll call you right away. I want to thank you guys for just listening on today. Sorry I missed you last week, a little bit of technical difficulties, but I'm here today and here to see what we're going to talk about and listen to what's on your mind. You know, we always talk about homeschooling, and the week before last when I was here, I talked about the schools that are becoming indoctrination centers. And I hope that you all have the time and patience to read through the 28 signs that make the United States public schools and how they're rapidly turning into indoctrination centers and prison camps. So the last time I was here, I was able to read off some of the things that are happening with our schools to kind of give us a clue of what's happening. You're always going to have police officers and in that film, the link that I sent to you, you can clearly see that schools were bombarded upon by police, SWAT teams, the whole bit. It was like a mock situation where teachers were gathered and office assistants were gathered outside the building. And then you also saw where it was unsuspecting to the children, and some of them were laid up against the wall. And these were armed cops that were accompanied by police dogs, and they actually did a surprise raid with their guns drawn. Man. So we need to look in the situation where our children are. I know that when I was coming up, all we had was fire drills, and then you came to California, my children had to do earthquake drills. So, you know, back east, north, tornado drills. So you had to learn how to do these things, but never in my life would I have ever thought that we would be doing these type of drills in school where the police come in with their guns drawn. Very volatile situation. Anything that could happen, somebody move out of place, or they think that a child has a gun, or whatever can go wrong can go wrong because it's all by human hands and even by mechanical hands. So anything that can go wrong will go wrong. So I don't think that as a situation, I hope that the parents of these students protested and actually did something about this happening in their schools again. Okay, today we're going to be talking about, last week I wanted to talk about this, the teachers in Atlanta, I think it was Atlanta, Georgia, yeah. Atlanta teachers that were sentenced, well, they were arrested, they went to court, and yeah, they were sentenced, they were handcuffed and taken away. There were 12 that were indicted. One, the leader of the ring, she passed away from breast cancer, so she didn't get a chance to go through the court system, but there were 11 others that were handcuffed and taken at that moment. And it's saying that they could at least get 20 years in prison. Now, my thing is that 20 years apiece, or is a, and they were charged with racketeering charges, okay, And racketeering charges carry up to 20 years in prison. This was on April 7th, so they're going to be sentenced at the end of this month to let us know how many years they're getting. I think, you know, with all this that is happening in our country with education, I think it's just a wake-up call to us as parents, as black parents, that we really need to wake up. And no doubt, when I read this about a couple years ago, right, when it first came out that they were cheating and erasing and the Scantron, the Scantron situation caught them. Actually, what it was, the people who were doing the Scantron, they noticed that, you know, out of all the erasers marks, every other mark that was marked was right. So they didn't even take the time to say, well, we know this is right, we're going to mark that wrong. They erased everything that was wrong and marked it all right, and that was a red flag for everybody to see. And when they saw how many that they were done, they knew they had to start doing some investigating. No doubt, when I was reading it a few years ago, the administrator, the lady who passed away, the leader of the gang, she was getting a lot of kickbacks and incentives for the school. And the word was out that if they didn't continue, or if this school didn't pass or do whatever they needed to do to make the grade, that these teachers were going to lose their job. So she put it out like a hard taskmaster to these instructors, teachers, counselors, whoever was involved in this, principals, and they just got caught up, I guess, because they wanted to keep their job. But keeping a job at the expense of not educating our children, making sure it looked like they passed, I mean, that's not a really good deal, because it's actually robbing our children of what they're supposed to be doing. So we as parents, there's a lot of things that we need to think about this next school year. We really need to start thinking about some things, because it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better, okay? Somebody just posted. Oh, wow. They just posted on the site here, 20-year sentence. They're going to serve 7 years. They're going to pay a $25,000 fine and 2,000 hours of community service. Whoa. That's one of the people, Tamara Cotton. And then, let me see, Angela Williamson. 5-year sentence, served 2 years, $5,000 fine, 1,500 hours of community service. And then we have Michael Pitts. He's one of the ones we saw on YouTube or online where they were actually handcuffing him and taking him out. He had a 20-year sentence. He's going to serve 7, $25,000 fine, 2,000 hours community service. Dana Evans, 5-year sentence. She's going to serve 1 year, 4 years probation, and 1,000 hours of community service. Tathika Jordan, 5-year sentence, served 1,500 community service, $5,000 fine. So it looks like the ones who are really, really up there, the 20-year sentence, they still served 7, 25,000, 2,000 hours community service. So, wow. So those are the ones that we have so far, and I tell you, it's really disheartening. And then you're going to have all these hours of community service. Well, my God, they've been doing community service. If you're working in any school for the pay that they make, you're doing community service. Okay, it's just that the service that they gave was not what we really wanted as far as our children's education. But I understand that that's what some of us can do. We can't do any better than put our children in a public school. But to offset that, you know what I always say, to offset that, what we have to do. We have to really work at making sure that we supplement our children's education. We really have to do that. So I wanted to talk about that. So if you have any comments on that event, give me a call in, shout it in, let me know what you feel, the pros and cons of these teachers and being arrested, and they're all black teachers, going to prison for anywhere from between 1 year to 7 years in prison for cheating on a test. I believe well, I'm not going to say what I believe. I feel that they should have probably lost their jobs. These are the young, these are the people who are going to lose their pension, or if they've been teaching for any length of time, and some of them look like they've been teaching for a while, they're going to lose their retirement. Anything that was coming to them, they're going to lose. They'll never be able to teach in a public school again. They're going to be looked at in the community as man, you messed our children up. And no telling how long this has been going on. So they lost everything. And it's sad that, you know, this has to happen. I think that's one reason why I don't think I've ever wanted to teach at a public school. Not that I would do anything like this, but the fact that there's so much stress that is put upon teachers to perform to the test. And we already know how our children test with these tests. But my thing is that if you as parents, you're really concerned about this, like I said earlier, you have to really think about your child's next school year. You got to figure out what it is that they know and what they don't know. And I always refer you guys to all the parents, anybody that I talk to either on the radio or in person, I always refer them to the site where they can do the diagnostic testing. And it's ACE diagnostic testing. That's all you have at the top. ACE, that's all capital letters, diagnostic testing. And all you have to type, and it'll come up. You just register. There's just no cost to it. Your child sits there, they do the math, and they do the English. And you'll see exactly where they are, where their gaps are. You can always contact me on Facebook, the Education of the Miseducated System. Let me know that you've taken a test and you don't understand the results. And we can converse on that. We can talk about that. You can email me the results, and I can call you back, and we can go over those results with you, so you'll know exactly what you need to do for your student over the summer. I know in my town we don't have summer school anymore, but the organization that I founded, we do summer school from first grade to sixth grade. Sometimes we have seventh graders in there because they're struggling, and now we have this Common Core, and I don't know what our summer school is going to look like this year. So we may have more students than we actually have had in the past, because it's to the point where parents don't even know how to help their children with the Common Core. So those are the things that we need to look at and find out what it is that you want for your child for next school year. Do you want to keep them in the indoctrination center, or do you want to move them to a private school? Do you want to move to do you want to homeschool them? Do you want to send it to a co-op? So it's up to you, whatever you feel like you want to do. But my thing is, it's time for us as parents to take control of what our children's education. We really have to do it. We cannot rely on other people to do this for us anymore. I mean, it was so much different when I was coming up. I was not that far removed from people being hung in a tree. The civil rights movement. That was right there in the thick of it as a young girl. So, the Vietnam War, all that stuff was going on during the time when I was growing up in New York. So, Black Panthers were well on the scene. It was what you call a very exciting time, you know. One of the things that I want to discuss to you today, in the midst of all this other stuff that's going on with the education and with the arrests and the convictions and the sentencing of these Atlanta educators, we know in the last few days we've had quite a few shooting, killing, murders of Black men in our different states. And that's something that we have to talk about. And I talk to my young people when I go to my Black Student Union classes, or I have the Genius School, and even talking to a couple of young men on the last Saturday, which was the 4th of this month, when we had Genius School, had a couple of young people show up. And one thing that I want to instill in us, and maybe this is something that you could do, I went to the NAACP website, and up at the top they have resources, and you can click on that, and then to your left you'll see where it's a postcard. all alert postcard. And the all alert postcard tells us what to do if we're a victim of a hate crime. And it's also saying help stop police misconduct and interacting with law enforcement. Know your rights. I believe I don't know whether I actually shared this with you, but I did share with a couple of my students how a friend of mine, she was driving a vehicle and she was on the cell phone, which, you know, a cop pulled her over and she knew she was wrong because she was on a cell phone. In my area, it's against the law to drive and be on your cell phone. So, but what happened was when he pulled her over and he was asking questions, she started to cough. And because she had been sick. So she coughed, and the police officer asked her, said to her, wow, that's a bad cough. You taking anything for it? And she said, yeah, I've had it for a while. He said, you taking anything for it? And she said, yeah. He said, what are you taking? And no, he didn't even ask her what she taking. She offered, yeah, I'm taking such and such and such. So he asked her to step out the car. End of story. You know what happened. He arrested her. You know, she had left the car there. They put her in the back of the police car, took her down to the police station, fingerprinted her, arrested her, and put her behind bars. Of course, she didn't think anything of it. She was probably just being very cordial. And not until she got there and they were rolling her fingerprints did it come to reality. Girlfriend, you under arrest, was under the influence. And all the things that she had to do, either take a blood test or pee in a cup, whatever. And if she denied it, then it would be a case of admission. So this right here, know your rights, interacting with law enforcement. I would suggest that if you could print this out, it's 4 pages, 4 half sheets. You could print out whatever you want to. This is interacting with law enforcement in your car, on the street, in your home, and if you're arrested. And anything else that you need to talk to anybody about, if you need any further assistance. So this is something that, and I'll post this link, and you can go online to get that. I think it's important that as a family, you sit down and read this. I was also online, somebody had posted this gentleman, he didn't want his children to ever be profiled, so they wear certain clothing, and they look a certain way, they talk a certain way, they're not out. And one of his sons said, Dad, you're taking all the fun out of being a black boy. But his whole thing is that he doesn't want his children to be racial profiled. Well, you don't have to look like a thug to be racial profiled. There have been many young men that have been stopped just because you look like, you resemble this person. Okay? We have some very polite African-American criminals out there. And they might not even look the part, but they're criminals, in, you know, altogether. So it's sad that it has come to the place where we as black people, we have to dress away a certain way, can't have certain things on our car. But I still travel with my aunt in my window and my aunt on the back of my car. So, you know, call it what you want to call it, say what you want to say. You know, that's who I am. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on in our nation's capital. And on last evening, I was researching the Promise Zone. We know My Brother's Keeper came out, and Obama pushed that forth and to help Hispanic, brown and black boys to succeed in school. And there were certain states that, cities that got certain amount of money. And some of the things that they were saying that that they were going to address, those are the things that need to be addressed anyway. I mean, it should be nothing new. It should be nothing new that you're going to address the literacy program. You're going to address the home situation. A lot of those things should already be addressed. So I'm going to type in My Brother's Keeper, and I'm going to read to you what it is that things that they want to target. And I want to see if you agree with me whether these things really need to be done anyway. They say that by the time students have reached the ninth grade, 42% of black male students have been suspended or expelled during the school years compared to the 14% of the white male students, okay? And we know that when our students students are expelled, meaning that they cannot go back to that school district. So there are a lot of little mini prisons around. I call them their indoctrination centers. Some people call them community schools. These are the guys, people who have gotten kicked out of school for whatever reason, and now they're in these schools, fighting, drugs, whatever. And the reason why they're in these schools is because a lot of times our school system does not want to lose the money. So as long as they show up and they're in a special school, guess how they get special money. Okay, so those are things that we got to really look at. I'm trying to get this, some of the things that these, I'm going to look that up, and we're going to discuss that. And another thing that I want to discuss is the Promise Zone, okay? And I talked about that about a year ago. The Promise Zone was some more money that President Obama was kicking out to certain communities, including the Choctaw Indian community, that, you know, they would have a school that would be, that would encompass the whole community, families and everything. Man, doesn't it sound like something that we used to do back in the day with our own people in the motherland? We would, I mean, everything was involved. The whole family, the whole community was involved. But I'm going to get back to this, my brother's keeper. I found the six goals. They said the six goals of the challenge are, this should not even be a challenge. This is something that should have been happening all along. From the time we stepped into school, and from the time there was a school that we all could go to, and I believe that in the segregated schools that we had, this was actually being done. Assuring all children enter school cognitively, physically, socially, and emotionally ready. So they're able to think, they're able to move around, they're able to get along with young people, other people, and they have their emotions are intact. So where are they going to get all this from? Okay, are they going to get it from being at home? Are they going to be getting it from being in a private school, a daycare, preschool? There's another initiative that he pushed where it's going to be mandated that all four-year-olds go to preschool or early start program. So this is where we're going. Your children are going to start school a lot early to get involved in all of this stuff right here as far as cognitively, physically, socially, and emotionally ready. The next thing they want is ensuring that all children read at grade level by third grade. Okay? So that's going to have to start early. We're starting our children, and I'm not saying that our children can't learn this stuff early, but ensuring that all children, some children just are not going to read by third grade. Some children are not even going to start reading by second grade. Some children are going to start at third grade and surpass everybody in their class. Ensuring that all youth graduate from high school. We're going to ensure that all youth graduate from high school. We're going to ensure that all youth complete post-secondary education or training. That means either they're going to go to a college or they're going to go to a trade school. We're going to ensure that all youth out of school are employed. Ensure that all youth remain safe from violent crime. Wow. When are they going to do that? This is not being done now. How can you ensure this? And I'm going to, usually when I find a word that somebody's using a lot, I like to look it up. I like to look it up and find out what that word actually means and where it actually comes from. Okay, ensure. Let's look at that word, because they keep using the word ensure. To secure or to guarantee. To make, to hold as safe as from harm. The origin of the word is a Middle English word, it's Anglo-French, and it was from the 1350s to the 1400s, and it's a noun. It can be used as an adjective. It means the synonyms are protect, guard, and safeguard. The British dictionary for this word says to make certain or sure, guarantee. They have a sense that this victory will ensure his happiness, will guarantee his happiness. Now, when I look at this word, one of the other words is probably influenced by the old French assure. We're going to assure that this will happen. But I'm looking at it as I don't see how with this My Brother's Keeper that they could actually say that they're going to ensure that this happens. They're going to guarantee. We're guaranteeing that all youth will graduate from high school. We guarantee that all youth will complete post-secondary education. All youth remain safe from violent crime. The only way that I see any of this happening, especially our youth, remain safe from violent crime, there has to be a total mindset difference from our United States, and it is just not happening. That's just not happening. I was reading where somebody had posted a judge, a black lady who's a judge. She was at this condominium. She's putting stuff in a car, and the white guy who's running for office for city council in that same town asked her what family does she work for. He thought that she was a maid, but she was in pearl. She was in a navy blue suit, had a designer bag, whatever she had with her. She was on her way to do her work. But then he said that wasn't a racist statement. Well, come on, what kind of statement could it be? What family do you work for? You say, I'm black, and I must work for some white families because I should not even be at this apartment, at this condominium. She had to let them know that I live here. Okay. Now, with this, some of the things that President Obama is saying, he wants everybody to, those who are going to be involved in it, to launch a plan of action, an extensive timetable for review, conduct a policy review, and form recommendations for action. This is what the community leaders can lay the groundwork, okay, and four steps. I'm saying that, you know, this is something that we need to do anyway. All children should have a healthy start and at the school ready. Some students, children are not. For whatever reason, the parents don't want them to go into preschool, and sometimes preschool don't guarantee that the kids are going to go in there ready to learn. I know that I used to work for Head Start, and the little kids who come in and all they want to do is play with blocks or paint or whatever, that's good, fine motor skills, but don't want to sit and listen to a story, don't want to participate in circle time, they're not going to get that. But one thing that they will go to school, well, they know how to sit to a table, they know how to serve themselves, you know, all that. They know how to brush their teeth, they know how to gargle, and they'll know how to tell kids that I don't like that. So that's something that they will learn, those things. Okay. So this February 27th, 2015, President Obama, he hosted a lunch with My Brother Keeper's mentees. Okay, those are the ones that he met at the beginning of signing off that this is something that we're going to do. So this is something, and he had a few of them talk with about what it meant to them. You know, they do have their one-year progress report out, and they're still working at trying to do it. So this is something that we need to look at, and if you want to, I'll post this on, I'll post this, what do you call it, this link to whitehouse.gov, and you can look and read about what this My Brother's Keeper is all about, the initiative is all about, and see whether you want to start something like that in your community. And I'm not saying that you have to run after these dollars, because a lot of times when you run after government dollars, state dollars, you have to do what they tell you to do. So I'm not going to even go there. That's something that you really need to think about. Okay, so that's something that I wanted to talk to you guys about. The other thing that I want to talk about is, hold on 1 second, I got something in my throat. Thank you. Okay, I'm back. I went to a meeting today. But before I go there, when I was talking about my promise keepers, the word that kept coming into my mind, and I want to get that word, and I talk about it a lot, and I always have a problem pronouncing that word, but I'm going to try to see if I can get it right now, and I'm going to come up with that word. And it talks about basically constantly putting something in our children's mind all the time. All the time. They're constantly learning a way of thinking all the time. So once again, we're not teaching you how to think. We're teaching you what to think. Cochlate. I think that's just the word that I'm looking for. So we have to realize that, you know, in doing these initiatives and making sure that, ensuring that these things are going to happen, this is something that they have to probably do, is make sure that our young people are learning the same thing everywhere and being drilled in them. Just like I talked to you guys a long time ago, that when I was coming up to school, I didn't realize that all the stuff that was being pushed into my brain. And it was like these patriotic songs. This is my country deserves thee. All of those songs that we had to learn in school, and we had to learn, and we had to sing it. And I tell you what, I love singing those songs. I've sung them proudly. Little did I know what actually the songs actually were doing. Star Spangled Banner, we had to learn all of the choruses of that song. So basically, you got to know exactly what it is that you're getting yourself into if you're going to be doing this. But I say to the families and those that are listening, do your own promise keepers. Okay? Let's call our children at promise instead of at risk. Okay? Okay, I'm going to get back to what I was going to say. I was at a meeting today, and I had to sit in on an ethics. Workshop. And we have 4. We have 4 high schools in my area, including the school where a lot of children go who maybe they got kicked out of school, but they allow them to go to a school that is run, it's not as bad as the community school here. Matter of fact, it's one step up from a community school. So every day, they're pushing this ethics decision-making conference. So I went today, and I went today because I wanted to be, because they had the students from the school that where I do the BSU, and this is all 12th graders, and I mean, I could tell you how many African-American 12th graders they had on 2 hands there, and they had round tables. We were at the 40th round table, and it was like 8 chairs to the table, and I think I've only seen maybe like 4 or 5 that didn't have anybody at the table. So you can imagine how many 12th graders from this school that was there. And they were dressed up really nicely. They really were dressed. I saw the Hispanic young guys. They had their ties and their suits and their jackets and stuff, white guys, you know, they had their stuff. Some of our African-American black boys, they were looking well. But, of course, we're going to have those few that walk around with their shirt hanging out, got a shirt and tie. And our young ladies, they look pretty decent. You know, you see a few of them with, those leggings and, you know, sandals and stuff. But I guess it was supposed to be a professional event. So that's something that we really got to work with our young people. And if you're working with young people, this is some of the things that we need to work with. But I'm going to go to this ethical decision making. And it was pretty good because what they did was they showed a few films and they talked to the kids about what would be important to them. And they had to do a lot of hands-on events. What is ethical? What do you do when nobody's looking? And I thought that was a good event, and that's something that we really need to bring to our children, what to do I mean, it may be all right to do it. It may be, but is it the right thing to do? And the instructor talked about how back not many years ago, how it was okay to discriminate against people who were a different color. And she was a white lady, and it was okay to beat them, hang them, and that was okay to do. But was it the right thing to do? And so she had to put it out there like that, and I thought that was very, very good. But in doing this, I also see the need to basically cause people to think a certain way. And when you think about it's okay to do, but is it the right thing to do? And now we have to figure out, in whose eye is this the right thing to do? Who are we talking about? What are we talking about? Who's making the decision whether this is right or wrong? And who's dealing out the consequences of something that may be right or wrong? So those are the things that we have to really seriously think about when we even are talking about ethics. But I think it's a pretty good program that we could go through, and I think it's something that is needed in our community, doing the right thing, because it's okay to do it, should we even do it? Okay, let me see if I got any callers on the phone. No, I don't have any callers right now. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the promised zones. The promised zones are, it's more money that came out maybe a year after this and My Brother's Keeper came out. And we're going to talk about the promised zones. And there was a school, I think it was in South Carolina, one of those Carolinas that that decided to do their school zone. And I mean, what happened is that the money came, and it, like I said, it's trickling to certain areas, and it came out January 2014, and it was going to go into 5 poor areas in our country. And once again, it just kills me. And I laugh at these pictures when they post the president. I don't care who the president is. All the people who they're talking about. They're going to always have those group of kids, African-American. If they're talking about Hispanic, they're going to have Hispanic kids. They're going to be up where you could actually see them. And they have some white kids up here, but they're kind of blending in, you know, in the back. But President Obama in 2014, he pushed forth the Promise Zone. And these are the areas that would be getting the money. The first five, San Antonio, Texas, Los Angeles, California, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Southeastern Kentucky, and the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Okay. So basically what these Promise Zones are, they're not providing, he said, they're not providing new money. Rather, it would be aimed at providing the local governments and agency aid in cutting through red tape to get access to existing resources. So basically, there's money there, what he's saying, but, you know, they're going to help the agencies to cut through the red tape, because we know that in order to get something happening for our children in any public school, there's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of things that you have to go through, a lot of papers. You got to qualify. You got to do this. But once again, these are the things that need to be happening anyway. We shouldn't have to go through all of those, that red tape. And we don't know how long this is going to continue on, because Mr. President, he said that he hopes to expand to 20 promised zones by the time he leaves office. And so we know, you know, next year, you know, we're looking at what we're going to be doing as far as our president. So this is something that we need to really think about. Do we want a promise zone? And the promise zones were based upon Jeffrey Canada's Harlem Children's Zone. So if you ever had an opportunity to go online and look at the Harlem Children's Zone, it was they have a baby academy for pregnant moms, and when they have their babies go through a program, all the way up until the students graduate from high school, and even they follow them through college. So it's a community effort. And when I went to New York a few years ago, It's massive. It covers a whole block in Harlem. So, and I think it's a very, very good program. If you had ever had the opportunity to watch Waiting for Superman, you'll see a little bit about how that school functions. So there are things that are being done in our community as far as other educational systems that are going on. And we as parents, we have to think about, is this something that we want to do for our children? Do we want to model that, or do we want to continue to send them to the public school? And I've already given you the link to the Black Homeschool, the magazine that comes online called the Black Homeschool. And that's something that if you ever have an opportunity to want to see that, you can go online. They have a lot of information about the Black homeschool. You get a lot of information on what's going on in the school system and what affects your child. And so we need to know how can we combat something if we don't know what it's doing to our children. Another thing that is going on is these immunizations. And in one city, about 135 students, maybe more than that, were walked off the campus because they did not have their immunization shots. So something that we need to think about, is that something that we want to be a part of? Do we still want to fight that? And a lot of times if your child goes to school, you're going to have to get those immunizations unless you can prove, doctor's note, that this will be detrimental to that child. That's something that we need to look at. There's a lot of things that are being changed in our country as far as our education. Some good, some not so good. Some of it, we have to think about what are we going to do ourselves. So what are we going to do? In this homeschool, a Black homeschool, there's a lot of different articles in here that could help you as a homeschool parent. There were some kids that were, the parents called them free range, and they're into unschooling. Now, there is a proper way to unschool, but whatever the program, the problem was, these children, they got themselves in trouble. And it said a short time ago, they brought to you an article about a family, and the parents allow their children to be free-range kids. Their 6-year-old and 10-year-old children walk around the city unsupervised because they believe that the world isn't safe enough to let them. Safe enough to let their children explore it. Now, there's a difference in home unschooling and just allowing your kids to walk around the community with, you know, unsupervised, a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. That's not cool. There's nothing much that a 10-year-old could do if somebody tried to snatch that little 6-year-old girl. The police, somebody called the police, and the police were concerned. So now the children are in protective custody, meaning CTS. The parents were, after they let their children walk around, they were concerned. This is what happened. They were concerned that their children did not come home around 6:30 p.m. like they were supposed to. That's when they found out that the children were at the CTS office. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, let's go back to this. So they're going to be talking about things like that, and they're also going to be talking about, let me see what else we got going on here with the educational news. They always have an educational news, and they always have a section on raising Black children. So. And how to, and I think we talked about that the last time, how to help your child expand their interest. There's a whole lot of things that can be discussed, a whole lot of things that can be talked about homeschooling. We got This is April. We're in the middle of April, May, and then June. The students are out of school. Parents, I urge you to really think seriously. If you have any questions, you can always hit me up on the Education Within This Educated System. In this article, they talk about things to teach your middle school age child to make homeschooling easier on both of them. It has the article that we're talking about the middle school principal out here where I'm at that say he don't like black children. He don't like black kids. Well, he didn't say children, he said kids. Okay. So that's a situation that we have to really deal with in our area. So basically, what happened, so the school that this guy, he said he don't like black children. He was from the Scandinavian Middle School here in Fresno, California. Fresno is like about 45 minutes north of me, all depends on how fast you drive. And he said, I just don't like black children. I don't like black kids. Ah, that's really sad. So they talk about those things and how we could address those. And these are things that you could address with your children. Even if your children are still in the public school, I recommend that you go to the black homeschool and sign onto it that you could receive it in your inbox, your mailbox, on a regular basis so you can see what's going on. They have a lot of resources that you can go to. And these are like little articles that you can read. They're not very long. Talk about how unschooling works and how it differs from homeschooling. If your children are not homeschooled full time, what you have to do for the after school program for your child, what you can do after school for them. And, you know, it gives you reasons why a lot of black parents, people are taking their children out of public school and homeschooling them. It talks about things that every black person should know. And why are black students punished harsher than whites for the same offenses? So these are things that you can really, really look at. Okay, and then it talks about spotlights. They have spotlights on there where they're going to show you different children who are doing certain things, like the 7-year-old who uses a violin as an instrument of peace in Ferguson. He's a violinist. Successes during school. So we're talking about that. So in this section, Dr. Umar Johnson has some things that he has to say. And these are some of the articles that I talked to, how the schools are ruining our black boys, 10 mistakes that create homeschool problems. And it says here, Chicago school is so horrible that they only offer PE classes online. My goodness, how are you going to get PE classes online? So once again, they have the success after school, and then they have a way for you to contact them. So these are some of the things that I'm going to be posting on the Education of the Miseducated System. I did want to, like I said, I wanted to go over the situation that was happening in Atlanta, Georgia, with these teachers who were arrested. From what I understand, there was 130-some teachers that were busted. Some of them took a plea deal so they wouldn't have to serve jail time. But of these 12, in which now 11 were convicted and had to serve time, they wanted to fight in court, along with the 12th person who didn't get a chance to fight in court because she died of breast cancer. So those are some of the things that I want to talk to you about. Okay. Like I said, this is a live call-in talk show, and I'm glad that you were listening to me today. And I'm going to just bring one little thing up to you before we go. I got just a few more minutes. So if you want to call in these last few minutes, you can do that. I welcome you to call in. Okay. Another thing that I'll that's going on in our schools that in my area, and I want everybody to really be involved in it. You really need to make a point attending if your children are in the public school or even if you're homeschooling them. You need to be aware of what's going on with your Title I monies, the categorical monies that are going into the schools that may not be going into the right area. So you need to go to those psych council meetings. You need to go to the school board meetings. Those are some of the things that you need to be involved in. Because even as a homeschool parent, you may not think that those things affect you, what's going on in the school. But I tell you what, they do affect you. Because if you have to fill out a form of a private school affidavit, they're going to ask you what school district your child lives in. And then of that, being in that school district, you are entitled to something. You're entitled to your child going to PE or taking a class or something at that campus. It does affect you because you pay taxes. And if you own a home, you pay taxes in those areas where the schools are, even if you don't own a home. So my thing is that as parents, let's get involved. Let's get involved with our children's education all the way around, whether they're in private school, whether they're in homeschool, whether they're in a co-op school, or whether they're even in a public school. We really, really need to be involved and know what's going on in our community as far as our children, what's up and up. Because you can find out a lot of things that you as a homeschool parent may be required to do. But you won't know if you're staying in the house and you're not reading anything or you're not going anywhere. You feel like I'm homeschooling, so I don't need to be involved with that educational system. You are involved with the educational system, the homeschool educational portion of it. But like I said, the government is still somewhat regulated because they have allowed this. And they're only going to allow you to do so much. So you need to know what's going on. You need to be on top of the curriculum that you're proposing to teach your children, plus be on top of going to some of these workshops, involving yourself with other families who look like you, think like you, and getting those extracurricular activities that you want your children to learn about, whether it's the Medinetta, whether it's ancient Egypt, all of those things, Kemet, whatever you want your child to learn. If you want them to learn a second language, you want them to learn Swahili, you want them to learn French, you want them to learn all the different countries in Africa and what they stand for and what they're known for. Those are the things that you could do, and I commend you to do it. Get some videos. Go online. There's many things that you could download, many things that you could order, all depending on the age of your child. So, and a lot of times when you get these little small TVs, you could plug your video in, and you can have the headset. So that child is watching what they need to be watching that is gearing towards them, and then you have your lesson plan for them. It's not a hard thing to do, family. Homeschooling your children is not a hard. It's very. You have to have a very creative mind, and you have to have the time, okay? So I want to sign off today with that. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. I am signing off, and I will see you on next Tuesday. You have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Dynasty Radio 1382.